Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Shame continues here on the Saturday night edition of Free Talk Live. It's almost falling off your head. Like, the only reason it's kind of staying on is I think one of the corners was stuck under the headphone itself. That's sort of, you know, attached to your head. So, yeah, for those of you wondering what we're talking about, Peakless Mountaineer is wearing an upside-down Burger King crown.
Of shame.
Of shame, right. This is the official Free Talk Live crown of shame because we don't have the budget to make one. We just took one from somewhere else, turned it upside down, and now it's the Free Talk Live official crown of shame.
There you go.
Peakless is wearing it. Why?
Because I was late yet again.
Okay, all right. So, there we go. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Riley.
And Peakless Mountaineer.
There you go. The telephone number 603-283-6160. Before we go on, I want to say thanks to Jake Leonard, who is a, what is he, Jake? Jake, what, oh, Jake Leonard is a platinum amplifier. I don't even know what that means. Nice. What does that mean? Let's see, silver is five, gold is
$25 a month.
I think that's anything.
$25 a month, yeah. No.
I thought it was anything over $20 was platinum.
No, $25 is platinum.
No, there are some ridiculous levels. Like if there's somebody out there that like super loves this show and wants to give like $500 a month or something like that, there's a level for that.
Ooh.
Yeah. Over at amps.freetalklive.com. Jake Leonard, however, is giving $25 a month. He's a platinum level amplifier. Why would anyone give us money per month to do this show? Well, that's not why you're giving it. You're giving it to get this show on more radio stations, because that's what we do. If you enjoy the message of peace, freedom, prosperity that we bring here on Free Talk Live, if you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, please consider becoming an amplifier. We're on somewhere around 200 stations right now. We could be on 250, 300 stations, not out of the question. It's all up to you. You do get some benefits for becoming an amplifier, some little perks and things like that. But that's not why you should amp. You should amp because you feel that spreading the message of freedom is so important that you want to help us get onto more radio stations. So thank you, Jake Leonard, for your contribution. We appreciate you. Visit amps.freetalklive.com to become an amplifier now. All right. On today's episode of As the Crypto World Turns, that's literally the headline from what appears to be the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission's website. Statement from Commissioner Hester M. Pierce and Commissioner Mark T. Ueda. March 5th, 2024. The Commission's enforcement action against Shapeshift is the latest installment in the serial drama of the Commission's poorly conceived crypto policy. The current episode recounts the take of an early innovator in the market for crypto assets. In August 2014, Shapeshift AG started an online platform that facilitated trading in crypto assets. Shapeshift sold from its own inventory, thus acting as a counterparty to both the buyer and seller, and generated revenue on the spread, the difference between its cost to acquire the crypto asset and the price at which it sold the acquired asset. Shapeshift operated this way for more than 6 years before announcing in January 2021 that it would be changing its business model. For those of you who don't know, they sort of became a DAO.
Decentralized Autonomous Organization.
Moved out of the U.S.
A DAO, not the DAO.
Not the, right, yes.
Yeah.
Customers would no longer be able to exchange crypto assets directly through the platform, and Shapeshift would no longer act as the counterparty to any customer transactions. Before this change, the platform traded in at least 79 crypto assets, facilitated as many as 20,000 daily transactions. So again, 2014, right? 2021 at the latest when they changed their business model.
Mm-hmm.
The commission's order instituting proceedings finds that Shapeshift violated Section 15A of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934 because it should have registered as a securities dealer.
Oh.
The Securities Exchange Act defines a dealer as any person engaged in the business of buying and selling securities for such person's own account through a broker or otherwise.
You should have known that we would classify this new technology as a security. I mean, we didn't, which is why, you know, for example, the commodities regulators said, no, this is definitely a commodity. But you should have known that it was also a security, and therefore that you had to fill out this paperwork.
This statement continues, Shapeshift meets this definition, according to the commission, because the crypto assets offered by Shapeshift included those that were offered and sold as investment contracts and therefore securities under SEC versus W.J. Howey Co. 328 U.S. 293 1946. The commission's order, however, fails to identify which crypto assets were investment contracts and provides no explanation for its conclusion.
Well, no, that would be regulatory clarity.
In sum, Shapeshift is in trouble because the commission, nearly 10 years after Shapeshift's platform started trading and more than 3 years after it changed its business model, now contends that some unidentified number of the 79 crypto assets it traded between 2014 and 2021 were investment contracts without explaining why.
Oh.
Notably,
wow.
The commission does not allege any harm.
Well, of course not.
Shapeshift and its customers voluntarily transacted, and the order nowhere alleges that Shapeshift defrauded its customers. This enforcement action underscores the adverse consequences of the commission's approach to regulation in the crypto space and adds to the ambiguity that hangs over the crypto world. This is what you were getting at, Pekulis.
Mm-hmm.
It is entirely unclear how Shapeshift was to discern that the commission would consider crypto assets generally, and any crypto asset in particular, a security in the form of an investment contract. Even now, 10 years on, it's hardly more discernible. But perhaps that ambiguity is exactly the result the commission wants. Now, the next person who comes up with an idea for building something to help people buy or sell crypto will think twice. Why spend time and effort creating something only to face an enforcement action 10 years later? The commission's mantra in such situations, just come in and register, is manifestly
register.
Oh, it's totally
unsatisfying.
It's totally
they want
easy.
Everyone to register so they can track wealth wherever it goes. They want to know who the big players are so they can steal money from them.
If only their malice was that contained. Like, yes, they do want to register everything, to track and control everything, but no, the people who have immense legal teams, they have literally sued the SEC for how difficult it is to do this,
right.
Saying, no, it's not just difficult, it is literally impossible with a team of lawyers to do what you're telling us to do.
They give a pretty good example here. Future Shapeshift or crypto company, calling up the SEC. Hello, FCC. I would like to register as a dealer. The SEC goes, why? And the new company goes, because I think some of the assets that I plan to deal might be deemed at some point by the SEC to be securities. And the SEC says, which ones? And the new crypto company says, I'm not sure because I can't really understand what criteria you use to decide whether a token offering is a securities transaction, and if it is, whether the token that was the subject of the investment contract remains a security in secondary market transactions. The SEC says, well, if you don't know whether you're dealing in securities, you can't register. And by the way, if some of the assets you're dealing in are not securities, you also can't register.
If some of the assets you're dealing in are not securities, you can't register?
That's what the SEC says.
Wow.
Wow, that's insane.
That is astonishing.
Future crypto business. So, right, can you help us think through which assets are securities? The SEC, no. We suggest that you read the 2017 Dow report, and it will be all clear to you. You can also look at our enforcement actions if you want. Future Crypto Company. I read it, and I've read about your enforcement actions. I still have questions. The SEC. Hire a lawyer. The Future Crypto Company. I did, and the lawyer has even more questions than I did. The SEC says, sorry, we can't help any more than we already have. We don't give legal advice.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And how convenient.
It's so convenient for these people in now, government to control you.
Now, I'll tell you why I love this. And I do. Because if you want to do something like Shapeshift, you're right. You cannot have an ordinary company.
Right.
You simply cannot. You cannot register a corporation and perform that service. What you can do is what they did. A decentralized, autonomous organization.
It's the only thing you can do.
Yeah. Because now, 10 years later, when they decide to come after your decentralized, autonomous organization, good luck.
Right.
Like, you can't identify any of these people. They're nowhere and nothing because it's whoever wants to participate at a given time. There's a level of anonymity that's provided by a decentralized autonomous organization that means that your dinosaur method of legislation is completely inept.
And it really is.
Yeah. Turns out these things that were designed for a century ago don't actually work. But, you know, when your job is intimidating people, you don't need them to actually be able to get out of the intimidation. No, you just need to say, well, more. Give us more and bribe us. That way we don't look twice at your particular thing, because I'm sure if we look at it, we'll find that it's not okay.
Yes, government works on, like, everything works by intimidation.
Yeah.
Governments operate the same way terrorists operate. Mark Edge has said this on the show. Governments operate the same way terrorists operate. And we see this every single day dealing with crypto.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people are like, well, the American system is so much better because if you go somewhere else, you'll have to bribe all the police officers. And it's like, no, it's all the same.
It is all the same.
We just have a slightly different way of bribing all of our officials. That's all.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. There's a little bit more to this article. We can talk more about this, but we also have, I believe this is Bad Slave on hold. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live. Bad Slave?
Oh, that's weird. So hey, I see his. There we go.
There we go. Are you with us?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. You're on Free Talk Live. We can hear you all as well. What's on your mind?
Well, you guys were talking about the atomic bomb, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Conundrum.
Yep.
And
it's one way to put it.
And I want to kind of expand that to something that I think might even be a bigger threat. You know, because of the what do they call it? Where the fact of atomic bombs is deterrent itself.
Oh, mutually assured destruction.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to pick up. Mm. But anyways, you know, beyond that, we have this worldwide, you know, effort to kill food production.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's one of the worst things about the conflict in Ukraine is because that is like the breadbasket for the world right there.
Yeah.
Like that is Eurasia's largest arable land area. And now we're not going to be, you know, getting bread from there because everyone's shooting each other there.
That's not good.
No,
I mean,
no, like, no, and this is something that's worth a lot of attention because, like, right now, the biggest farmland owner in America is Bill Gates, and that man is up to no good in a number of ways.
I agree. Well, we've got the Dutch farmers, we've got, you know, Irish, you know, killing off livestock in Ireland. We've got, you know, the slow deterioration of the quality of meat production in America. We have so many. You know, look what they're doing with this silly Amish farmer, Miller.
Oh yeah,
I haven't heard about that one.
Oh yeah, you have. They're just persecuting the man for selling raw milk.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
They've been persecuting him for a long time.
Yeah, they continue to do so. They claim that, and I'm trying to remember the exact location. So this guy is in Pennsylvania, and they claim that somebody in Michigan drank some tainted milk that they got from him. Well, how did he get to Michigan? First of all.
It wasn't Michigan. It was New York, I think.
Oh, New York. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's closer.
That explains it.
Yeah.
And New York's the most heavily regulated place on earth.
But still, he did the thing that he tried to protect himself, and the only way he could, he couldn't form a corporation for legal protection, so he instead formed a private membership association, a PMA, or a private club. If you will, for people who wanted to voluntarily join and get his products.
And I, there have been no, contamination, shown anywhere, I don't think. I don't know whether that I think it was a listeria and infection or something like that. It's just, this is being broadly promoted.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Dutch farmers and the German farmers now, that has absolutely, and the cattle in Ireland, all of this has everything to do with this utterly nonsensical, climate change agenda. All of this has to do with, the weather gods are angry that you drive an SUV.
We need to appease the weather gods and get back to pre-industrial levels.
Yeah, never mind the fact that all of their models continually fail. Never mind the fact that none of their models include what the other planet's temperatures are, which, newsflash, they're all going up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, all of this has to do with you are the carbon that they want to eliminate. And unfortunately, the people in Europe are okay with the fact that, everything that they do to feed themselves will be regulated, and they're okay with that until now.
What do you think is going to happen, folks, when there's actually an achievement of zero carbon dioxide, penetration? I mean, the fact is carbon dioxide is what makes stuff grow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what makes plants grow. It is literally the mark of human technology. When humans figured out fire is when we increased our carbon footprint. And our ability to feed ourselves has always been due to our ability to produce carbon. So if you want to end the production of carbon, you want to end human life.
And that's what people don't understand.
Yeah. And if you want us to go to a net zero carbon production, you literally want our technology to go back to the Dark Ages. And spoiler alert, that's what they're aiming for.
That technology probably actually has the capacity of zeroing out carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. All of this fades innovation, right? So there's this Malthusian belief that our ability to produce food will never meet up with our ability to increase our population, which is true if you don't realize that humans create things. We create new ways of doing things. And yeah, if our ability to produce carbon ever gets so problematic that it starts to threaten us, then we will focus on that problem and figure out how to pull carbon back out of the atmosphere. But the truth is, it's not an actual problem.
That's right.
Yeah, but it's a great excuse for world government, because it's a problem that is too big for any small group of people to solve.
It needs millions of people and billions of people to cooperate around the world to achieve net zero.
Yeah. Oh, it just happens to be that my dream of dominating every life on Earth happens to be the only solution to the thing I'm telling you is happening.
Your thoughts, Bad Slave?
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling, man. We appreciate you. Hope to talk to you again soon. 603-283-6160 is the number if you would like to join us here on Free Talk Live. Just a couple bits more from this bit from the SEC on Shapeshift. This scene that we went through, the scenario where the SEC and some new crypto company is having a discussion about how to identify what is or isn't a security, that scene is by no means hypothetical. Industry participants have consistently expressed concern that they need clarity on which crypto assets are securities. The calls for clarity will only increase in response to last month's expansion of the definition of dealer to reach active liquidity providers. In adopting the rule, the commission acknowledged that the new category of dealers might include certain crypto market participants. Might. Nice of them. Mm. People are right now trying to figure out whether they have to register as dealers, and if so, which assets they can handle in the registered entity. To do so, they need to understand whether the assets for which they provide liquidity are securities. The fiction that this has been done is undermined by the commission's failure to state which specific assets in the cases before us are securities. The standards are so opaque and arbitrary that the commission itself is unwilling to stand by its own analysis. If case-by-case determination is possible, we respectfully request that the commission show its work. The environment we have created for the crypto asset markets, especially as it relates to secondary trading, is untenable. It exposes well-meaning entrepreneurs to a regulatory sword of Damocles. Cases like this do not protect investors. They intimidate innovators and entrepreneurs. We respectfully dissent.
Yeah. And any situation where you have too many laws to be followed is where you have no real system of law. What you actually have is a system of favoritism of who gets ignored for not following the laws.
Right. So we saw this with FTX.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And FTX still exists, and a big part of that is because Sam Bankman-Fried was a very, very well-connected man.
Yeah, well, and he donated to, you know, both of the two largest parties.
Exactly. A tremendous amount of money. Dark money to the Republicans, because you don't want to get caught giving them money. Yeah. And light money to the Democrats to say, boy, what a good boy am I.
Oh, yeah.
And yet somebody like Odyssey, right, has to eliminate their entire business, actually. 603-283-6160. The final half hour of Free Talk Live is still to come. Don't go anywhere. We've got more in store for you.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Update.
A lot of my Republican friends, that's cost a lot of money raising the deficit. Guess what? We cut the deficit. It cut the deficit. $1 trillion. The last guy ballooned the deficit.
President Biden, fresh off the State of the Union, campaigning in Philadelphia Friday, taking on a similar tone to the one he delivers at the State of the Union speech Thursday night at the Capitol.
Folks, Our freedoms really are on the ballot this November.
Former President Trump taking to his social media platform, Truth Social, to weigh in on Biden's State of the Union address.
Joe Biden is on the run from his record and lying like crazy to try and escape accountability for the horrific devastation he and his party have created, all the while they continue the very policies that are causing this horror show to go. We cannot take it any longer as a country.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for listening to Free Talk Live. We're coming to you live tonight from the studio. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me.
Riley.
And Bigless Mountaineer.
Let's just go right away to your calls and thoughts. We have the infamous Mr. David Ridley.
You can never go too quickly to Ridley.
You can never go too quickly to Ridley.
Is that your new slogan?
It sounds better than my song, I guess. But
yeah, but your song is also infamous, so.
Infamous? Infamous?
So, are you guys familiar with Silver Dave?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So, you know, like we have River Dave, we have Ridley Dave, and we also have Silver Dave.
Oh, there's a lot of Daves. Wow, just a collection of Daves.
I know, Dave.
But
there's actually.
So
go ahead.
He is a liberty activist in Ware or Henniker, New Hampshire. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Exactly.
I believe he has a retail location in Ware. It's spelled We Are, but it's pronounced Ware.
And he has a silver store. He was just a guest, I guess, this week, or last on the Howie Carr show.
Cool.
Carr, for those not in the Northeast, he's probably the most important radio voice in the Northeast, or at least
that's
in
New England.
That's
pretty cool.
Super cool.
Yeah. So I guess Dave had been advertising on that show for some period before that, and that probably contributed to him being a guest. But I guess they had him on to talk about silver, like just to educate people about how to protect themselves against inflation and stuff like that. It's really nice to have that
expertise.
You know, that's right exactly up his alley, and I'm so glad to hear that his entrepreneurial spirit is carrying on. I know this past Pork Fest, he showed up and went around to, I don't know, all the sites, but a bunch of them, and were like, hey, if you let me hang my poster advertising my silver here, I will give you this little Pork Fest, you know, stamped piece of silver. And people were like, dude, hell yeah.
That's
why
so
wouldn't
cool.
I? And so I acquired some of those myself, the commemorative ones at least that were stamped Pork Fest. Just, you know, from there, like, he's just been expanding since then, and I'm looking forward to what he does in the future for sure.
Yeah, and just a quick update on the market. I would be surprised if silver didn't start rising right about now because gold went up, and usually that's how it goes, is that the gold market goes, then the silver market goes.
Ridley?
Nothing to add, except I hope you mentioned the FreeSafe project. I'm still listening to the show. I haven't listened all the way through it. But
yeah, I sure hope so.
When you get publicity like that, you've got to bring up the action item. Move to New Hampshire. Get up here.
Right.
Amen to that. Any other thoughts?
That is all.
Hey, how can people find you if they want to learn more about whatever you're up to?
Oh, I get to sing the song. RiddleyReport.com.
All right.
Boom, 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 boom.
Thanks for the call, Dave. We appreciate you. Look forward to hearing from you again. So, yeah, I'm with you on the silver. Like, we talk a lot about cryptocurrency here because, well, I come from tech, and so the reason I'm into cryptocurrency is because I have seen these tech curves before.
Mm-hmm.
When the launch of some new technology takes off,
mm-hmm.
You know, I saw color television sort of, you know, become huge, right? It had been invented already, but like black and white was still the most common. But I saw the transition where everybody got rid of their black and whites to color TV. I saw people get rid of their corded phones, home phones, landlines, and move to cordless phones. I saw the invention of the answering machine morph into the digital answering machine, or voicemail, as we all call it now.
Mm-hmm.
I saw then telephones sort of expanded after the breakup of Ma Bell, you know, when the government did one of the most correct things it's ever done in its existence and break up a monopoly.
The most useful thing that they tend to do is to manage the problems that they themselves cause.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden we got a whole bunch of innovation. All of a sudden there's competing long-distance companies, and all your long-distance rates went way the hell down. Then all of a sudden there's over-the-air things happening. Pagers were invented. Oh, my gosh. And then what happened? Oh, we got cell phones immediately after that. Then we got PDAs, all right, these personal data assistants, right? And then somebody got the bright idea to build the PDA right into the cell phone itself. And now we have smartphones. Right, so I've seen these tech curves. I saw the curve of Boeing. I saw the curve of Microsoft. We're talking stocks now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where like if you missed out on that train, you really missed out. Mm-hmm. You could have got into either Boeing or Microsoft for hundreds of dollars, right, and became pretty darn wealthy as a result. But if you weren't on top of it, if you didn't know what a tech cycle was, right, if you weren't able to distinguish what a new rising technology might accomplish or recognize it as a tech curve, then you lost out. And I lost out on all those. I didn't get in on any one of those bastards. And I mean, if I'd have just been a little more self-aware, I probably would be so wealthy I didn't have to even be here. I'd be doing something else. I'd be like, you know, on the moon, on my space base or something, you know. But no, I missed them all. I saw this cryptocurrency coming. Largely because of people on the internet, and particularly Free Talk Live, talking about it way back in the day. And I went and read the white paper. I started following some people on it. I'm like, oh, I'll be an SOB if I'm going to miss out on this one. So I got some. I didn't get enough.
No one ever did.
None of us ever did, Captain. Well, we do the best we can.
Yeah, and I'd say that at this point, we are sort of reaching the end of the beginning. Like, we are reaching the end of the phase where you can still just get involved in cryptocurrency and become fabulously wealthy. Now, the nice part of this is that it will never end, that this has introduced the fact that savings hasn't worked in a century. People have had to save in land and stocks and bonds and things that are not dollars because those dollars get worthless. But this introduces savings permanently. And that ability will exist for posterity, that you can just put away a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, put it in your own wallet, own your own coins, make sure you have your seed phrase, your keys, your private keys.
Yep.
But you can just put a little away, and then when the time comes to retire, you can just live off of the little bit and a little bit that you put away without having had to, you know, get a stock market guy involved. Now, that's going to be permanent.
Yeah.
But right now is the very end of the opportunity to just become fabulously wealthy by getting in on this.
Well, and what you've described is the phrase that you will hear if you start reading cryptocurrency periodicals or articles, stuff like that. Generational wealth, right? That's something most people, when they hear that phrase, they think of, like the Rockefellers or some wealthy family that's owned this business, the salt mine it's been in the family for 100 years or whatever, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's what most people think of generational wealth. Well, for the first time, any individual can expose themselves to generational wealth.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing about cryptocurrency is when you expose yourself to more generational wealth, it gives you an opportunity to pass that generational wealth on to other people as best as you can.
Right.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that has never been available legally, because they will make specific laws of, no, if you put this away for your retirement, you have to take it out.
Right.
Oh, are you 71 and a half? Well, here's how much you got to take out. Here's how much you got to take out. We can't have you leaving that to your posterity. We have to be able to retax it and tax it again. Whereas if you put it in your wallet, who's to know who has what where?
So circling back now to silver, because we were talking about Silver Dave and his interview, there will still be value in silver and gold, hard assets, diamonds, right? All this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Even these, like these collector coins, right? Where they're, made of one of these precious metals, silver or gold or something, but like they're stamped with something, ? It's sports figure or some, commemorative thing or whatever, right? That adds value to just the metal itself, right? When it's commemorative or it's stamped with something, depending on how rare it is and how many of them were actually printed in these coins. So there's always going to be value in holding on to silver and gold, stuff like that, particularly fractionals of those. I like gold backs a lot because of that, because it's spendable gold. I like fractional silver because it's small. You can carry around some quantity of it without it getting too heavy for you to transport, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's good for, making smaller purchases, if you will. You're not going to show up at the closing of your real estate with a bag full of silver or gold, right?
Right.
It still has its use, particularly in what people like to call SHTF situations, right? So, I don't know, nation collapse, dollar collapse, even just run-of-the-mill natural disasters, earthquakes, right, wildfires, stuff like that. When you're cut off from civilization, when you're cut off from the just-in-time delivery of goods and services, because it's rare that warehouses stock anything anymore, and if they do, it's out the door almost the minute it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good for those situations.
Yeah.
When you're out of power, communications are at a premium, you want to be able to trade with people, dollars aren't going to cut it.
Right.
Cryptocurrency probably not going to do the trick.
Depends on how hard it hit the fan, but yeah.
But everyone will look at gold and silver and be like, okay, that's worth something.
Yeah, I got to tell you, for those situations, if we're talking about the grid is down situation, I have one currency that I believe in. Bullets. Yeah. Cartridges.
Yeah.
Cartridges filled with smokeless powder. Now, those are a beautiful trade item because you can use them for defense. You can use them to hunt. They last for a very long time. And it's very, very difficult to make in a situation like that.
As a whiskey drinker, I like to bring this up when people bring up bullets. It used to be, back in the Old West, you would walk into the saloon and you would like the bartender to pour you some whiskey. And it's how much you want. I want a shot. And so they pour you a shot. And then you paid for it by handing them a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's currency.
Right. This is the... I don't know if this is actually how it became called a shot, but that's the tale that I was told.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Seems like
logical
it
to me. Yeah.
Yeah, and on the subject of protecting your wealth, so... day after tomorrow, the Bank Term Funding Program, which is something that absolutely no one in the world seems to know about except for, like, you know, deep inner plumbing wonks and me. The Bank Term Funding Program is what saved the bank collapse that had started last year from just being contagious throughout the entire system. It was a bailout that wasn't called a bailout. But in 2 days, that ends. So throughout the next year, we are going to see another, well, not even another bank collapse. It's actually the same collapse. It's just they postponed the rest of the collapse.
Oh.
So
they kicked the can down the road?
Yes, yes. They didn't want to call it a bailout, and they didn't want to do that. Oh, it's the Bank Term Funding Program, where we're just going to pretend all those assets are still worth what you paid for them. And we'll give you a loan based on the original value instead of what you could ever actually get for them. And that is over in 2 days. So we could soon or late see the continued collapse of the bank system. And mark my words, this will very simply end up with J.P. Morgan gobbling up a bunch of regional banks. But it will cause a lot of chaos, a lot of fear, and on the bright side, it will drive up the price of gold, silver, Bitcoin, and Dash.
It wouldn't surprise me if that happens. It wouldn't surprise me if we became rather wealthy off this either.
And frankly, we told you so. We've been telling you on this program to put some wealth away in these things that have no counterparty risk. Because you don't have money in a bank, you have an account. And the bank might let you access it if they feel like it and are still there.
Yeah.
Whereas with gold, with silver, with Bitcoin, with Dash, with Monero, it's yours.
It is yours. You own it. You own the keys.
Yeah.
You own the crypto.
Yeah. Now, you could do the nonsensical thing of owning Bitcoin through an ETF.
Yeah.
In which case, you don't own Bitcoin.
Right.
You own a thing that's pegged to the price of Bitcoin. They own Bitcoin.
Like, I could see... somebody in the corporate world, right? Instead of doing dollar cost averaging, maybe they already bought some crypto, maybe they're holding some or whatever, but now all of a sudden, like, you know, it's time for their annual benefits thing that all these corporations do every year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe now your 401k provider, is offering a cryptocurrency option. Right, and you got to fill out a piece of paper. How much of your, retirement that you're contributing? How much of your contribution? What percentage do you want to go toward this instead of all the other stuff? Right,
mm-hmm.
Do you want to go aggressive? Do you want to go safe? Right, there's different variations of that when you get into this kind of stuff. So, I could see certainly somebody holding both positions,
mm-hmm.
right? Both holding some actual cryptocurrency in their own cold storage where they own their keys and all that kind of thing, but also as part of their retirement planning, right? Their retirement fund engages in some cryptocurrency as well.
Oh, that's the wrong way to do it. So if you insist on using the legacy financial system to own cryptocurrency, the best thing you can do is own MicroStrategy stock, because basically the whole value of the stock is based on their crypto ownership.
Right, but with these 401ks that these corporations offer, you don't get to get that granular. Right? Mm. It's usually a generalized fund.
Because I know with a Roth IRA, you can definitely own stock through the money that you've put in there. And the best thing about that, you paid the taxes on the way in so that there's no taxes on the way out.
Well, and that depends on how you get them out, or when you get them out, I should say, not how.
Not if it's a Roth.
Maybe I'm thinking about traditional IRA.
Yeah, you're thinking about the traditional IRA. The traditional IRA, you get taxed on the way out. Whereas if you have a Roth IRA, you put some money in there, you buy some MicroStrategy stock because it's about to be old enough that it qualifies for the Fortune 500, at which point everyone's retirement fund will have a little bit of Bitcoin in it.
So usually what happens in a corporate environment is they offer some version of 401k matching. And so basically they say if you put, you know, $20 a month or $20 a paycheck into your 401k, they'll match that, and they'll put another 20 in for you. Mm-hmm. And then they give you, it's usually a provider, not a choice of providers, a 401k provider, and then you have to go aggressive, you know, you have to pick out of, you know, one of five different funds, right? Mm-hmm. These are all conglomerate funds. These aren't specific things that you can pick. You can't pick a specific company to invest in. You have to pick one of the funds. And maybe MicroStrategy's in one of the funds if they are far selling right on. But I'm thinking one of these funds is going to have some cryptocurrency in it, and I could see somebody, because they're already in it. They're already in this legacy financial system, 401k contributing cycle, right? Continue, you know, because they've been employed for 10, 20 years or whatever it is, right? And they're contributing to this thing all this time. Well, now one of the funds offers some cryptocurrency. I could see somebody also selecting that.
Mm. Well, and the reason I would say own MicroStrategy instead of the ETF, so MicroStrategy has this brilliant plan, because since everyone's using stocks as a form of store of wealth, which is not what stocks are supposed to be, but since they're doing it, then all of the stocks are way, way overvalued. Like, they're not valued based on the money they're actually going to be making. They're valued based on what you think you're going to be able to sell them for. So it's what's called a monetary premium. Just like gold and silver are not worth the production power of the metal, of, you know, what circuitry you can build with it. They're worth that because they have a monetary premium.
Right.
Right. So this leverages that monetary premium, so they are getting more money from their stock being more valuable, which it's more valuable than it would be just based on the Bitcoin price, because money, because stocks are that value of money, of that monetary premium of a store of value. So they're using that overvaluation to buy more Bitcoin. So it's just a feedback loop. So the more stocks get overvalued because they're a store of value, as they have been for a very long time now, the more they get to buy extra Bitcoin.
Right. Yeah, that's brilliant.
And extra Bitcoin is actually valuable.
That's totally brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another example, we were talking in the break of how cryptocurrency, Bitcoin specifically, has been acting as a vacuum cleaner to state-based currency, not just in the U.S. Like, I mean, we're here, so that's what we talk about the most, but, like, it's happening all over the world. State-based currency is getting vacuumed up, hoovered up, if you will, by cryptocurrency. And so now that institutional money is getting thrown at it, and it's like they just made an industrial-sized Kirby vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that is why it's so hard to predict from where it is. Like, how much of our traditional four-year cycle are we going to engage in? Because we suddenly have 10 times the demand than the supply.
Right.
Because the supply is fixed. And right now, it's 6 Bitcoin every 10 minutes. And in about a month, little over a month, it's going to be 3 Bitcoin every 10 minutes. And the demand is 10 times that. So it's really hard to figure out how much of this price action is going to continue.
So between us here tonight, we know that a fraction of Bitcoin is sometimes referred to as a Satoshi.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, what's the exact?
100 million.
100 million?
Yep. There are 100 million Satoshis in every Bitcoin.
That's actually a really small divisible number.
It is.
Right. And so the idea is, and I guess I was surprised. I'm no longer surprised. I was surprised at how many people don't get that. Don't get that, like, yeah, there's, you don't have to own one whole Bitcoin.
Right.
You can own a piece of one. You could own $20 worth or $100 worth. Or
that's one thing I miss about, you know, this whole idea of owning Bitcoin is back in the good old days, I want to say, we could send Bitcoin dust, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Microtransactions.
Yeah.
But now, the network doesn't scale anymore, so you can't send microtransactions.
Well, and you have to actually scale the technology in order to get back to being able to send microtransactions. Like, you can do that on the Lightning Network. You can do that on Nostr, which is the social media that's based on Bitcoin. Yeah, they have what's called sending zaps. So you send these, you know, tiny little, just a few Satoshis to someone for like, hey, I liked your comment. Here's, you know, a tenth of a penny.
Yeah.
Ooh, a whole tenth of a penny.
Yeah. Well, microtransactions, from an artist's standpoint, microtransactions were supposed to revolutionize that of the audio artist and, like, you know, being able to pay you for, like, spins on, you know, websites and, you know, that type of thing.
And they will, as soon as we get the regulatory clarity to figure out how to build a payments network that they will stop trying to extort money from and say, okay, we already gave you your pound of flesh for this. Now let us just pay each other. Once we're allowed to do that, once we have the regulatory clarity, then we can get to the point where we're sending these tiny, tiny bits of value and revolutionizing the entire human marketplace. But we can't do that until they say, okay, it is exactly 12 ounces of flesh that we need
right.
from you.
Yeah, yeah. So, all that to say, these are interesting times we live in right now.
Oh, yeah. And,
oh, definitely. It's
the most.
And, like, I think, like, I feel like we've just sort of been in this, like, lull for a little while. And so now that, you know, crypto's taken off again, you know, there's a little more excitement in the news surrounding that particular industry. But I think the speed at which new technologies are going to make themselves available to us is going to increase very quickly. We've already gotten to a point where 3D printing is more than viable for creating, manufacturing, any type of physical good. If we can combine that with the nimbleness of cryptocurrency, I mean, it's not even going to matter, right? Somebody's going to invent something, and instead of needing to, like, oh, let me make a prototype, and let me test it, and let me blah, 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 all of a sudden, like, they're going to make it, they'll test it themselves, and then you'll just download a file and print it out at home.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah. We stand on a razor's edge between Bitcoin heaven and nuclear hell. And it's up to you, listener. What are you buying? What are you spending? What are you earning?
We are out of time. Thank you to all of our callers. Thank you, Riley, for sitting in for Mark Hicks tonight.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Peakless, for actually wearing that crown of shame for the entire episode. We appreciate all of you. If you missed any part of tonight's program, visit freetalklive.com. Find the archives under resources. Thanks and peace.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.